Okay, since Chris isn't going to do this for me, I'll do it. Janook Lee, who many of you might know, worked with Dave and I in Wenatchee for a few years, and this is actually a talk he was going to give, but he was unfortunately not able to come to the meeting today. We started working on this problem about 6 years ago, I think it was, and the origin of it was actually a grower who brought in some fruit to me with browning, which I had never seen. And they had this problem in a particular block in a very large orchard that is South Wenatchee. And so because Gala continues to be planted in pretty high volumes pretty much throughout North America, we thought, well, maybe we should look at this a little bit and see we can figure out what's going on. So that was kind of the start of our work. And Gala, as many of you know, is susceptible to some disorders, cracking, splitting at harvest. That can get worse during storage and after storage. But the stem and fresh breakdown is a relatively new problem, and there's still a lot of growers and researchers who have never experienced this. And so we continue to work on it, maybe not as extensively as we do other issues because it's a relatively minor problem. That said, within a particular lot, this can be a devastating issue when fruit comes out of storage after long term, you know, 6, 7, 8 months, and you have 80 to 90% of the fruit with the problem. So I'm not going to address why this may be happening in any particular, you know, the orchard to orchard variability that we see, and this is really focused on some post-harvest issues here. In the work that we initially did and what Chris just also showed you, MCP does a good job of delaying or preventing the flesh breakdown in particular, which appears to be a ripening and senescence related disorder. But we've had some odd things happen in the years that we've done this work, particularly a differentiation in the symptoms from what we call diffuse versus radial browning. And so part of the impetus to do this project was to look at some of the factors that may be related to the browning and the interactions between MCP and storage temperature in particular. These two disorders, from stem end to calyx end, in Janook's pictures here, and typically it starts at the stem end and then can progress down into the core and then to the bottom of the fruit. This is a typical pattern that we've seen. And the same is true in the radial pattern, which typically doesn't progress quite as extensively into the bottom of the fruit, at least in our experience. So we were looking at storage temperature and MCP treatment as far as disorders and also a couple other quality-related factors or attributes in these apples. So in this experiment, all the fruit was picked. It was a commercial harvest. We got the fruit from the grower. And one of the things that Janook had seen previously is that this disorder tends to be much more likely to occur in large fruit. So we only used fruit that were greater than 240 grams. There were two experiments. The first one, the fruit were either treated or not with MCP and then stored at a half a degree or 3 degrees C in air for up to 6 months. And then the second experiment, he was interested to see if the concentration of MCP had any influence on the development of the symptoms. He measured fruit weight and circumference, internal ethylene, flesh color at different positions within the fruit, and then the incidence and severity of disorders, including cracking, shriveling, and then browning. So first, to illustrate the effects of temperature and MCP, and you can see externally the effective MCP is very powerful in reducing or preventing the incidence of cracking and peeling, which tends to, peeling in particular, tends to get worse at a higher storage temperature. Now, keep in mind, these are 6 months. This is 6 months in air plus a week. So these fruit are senescent. They're not commercially viable. And this is really the only conditions that I've ever seen this peeling to occur, which a few months ago, we got some photos from a shipment of fruit that had been rejected in an export shipment that looked like this. And so obviously these fruit had experienced some sort of temperature mishandling at some point in their transit history. So for shriveling and cracking, both of these disorders were reduced, if not prevented, quite nicely by treatment with one MCP. The temperature effect wasn't really as extensive in this experiment, although the fruit at 3 tended to have a little bit higher incidence of both of these disorders. When we looked at fresh weight loss and change in circumference, which tends to happen when the fruit starts to crack, both of those issues were greater in the control fruit. It tended to be a little bit worse in fruit stored at 3 degrees versus a half a degree. And both of them were reduced if the fruit had been treated with one MCP, regardless of the temperature that the fruit was subsequently stored. For color, and this is at the stem end in the equator or at the calyx end, again, a similar type of trend. Higher storage temperature in the controls, more decrease, or more darkening at all of the locations, and that was reduced by treatment with one MCP, and temperature really was less of an issue. Same for hue, similar pattern. Controls, more change than the MCPs with a temperature effect. So then we get to the browning, and the first time Jinook showed me this, I wanted to go home and not come back. So basically what we saw is both types of browning, but the diffuse browning we're only seeing really in the fruit that in the controls. At 3 months, when the data came out, and this is, we've seen this before, there was no symptoms, but after a week, both at either temperature, there was a relatively high incidence of browning, was a bit higher in the fruit stored at 3 degrees, and no diffuse browning in the MCP treated fruit, which unfortunately had developed a fair amount of this radial browning alternatively. And in this case, even though there's a lot of browning here, it tended to be a bit less at the higher temperature, and the severity was actually statistically less. So, you know, it kind of supports a concept of the diffuse being senescence related, and perhaps the radial being a lack of ethylene activity as well as a chilling injury. So to summarize, the factors you would associate with ripening and senescence tended to be worse in the controls, and increase with storage temperature typically were reduced by MCP treatment. And as far as the browning, the radial browning was much worse in the MCP treated fruit, tended to be lower at the lowest temperature, as opposed to the diffuse browning, which was higher in the controls and at the higher temperature. So the concentration experiment, all of the concentrations were very effective at eliminating, or pretty much eliminating, cracking or shriveling. And we really saw that only in the controls for shriveling, a little bit in the MCP treated fruit with cracking. All of this fruit was stored at a half a degree. So again, similar response to what we had seen in the previous experiment. And then with the diffuse versus radial browning or breakdown, again, the similar pattern in that the controls is where we were seeing the diffuse flesh browning, and the radial browning tended to be pretty much exclusively in the MCP treated fruit. There was maybe a little bit, there was some less at the lower concentration of MCP at 3 months plus a week, but I mean, there's a lot of browning in here, so it's really kind of a realistically not a really significant effect, even though statistically it is. So I think to summarize here, again, I didn't show the color data here, but it was a similar pattern that we saw in the temperature experiment, and really the browning results here are consistent with what we saw previously, with the addition that within the range of MCP that we used, there was a slight effect at the lowest concentration of being less diffuse browning, but overall the pattern was similar with diffuse browning in controls and radial browning in the MCP treated fruit. So I think overall conclusions from this and the work that we've done previously, Royal Gala apple quality, MCP enhances the delay in ripening when fruit are stored at half a degree. Diffuse flesh breakdown, based on the work that we've done so far, I think is consistent with a senescent disorder. What Chris showed earlier is also similar. And it's enhanced, reduced by MCP and being enhanced by higher storage temperature. The radial stem and flesh browning, what we feel at this point is an ethylene-related disorder. It may be, it has a pattern consistent with being chilling injury. I mean, this is what we were seeing in part in the conditioning work that, for whatever reason, works better with apples from Vantage, Washington than it does from New York. And there is some increase with higher storage temperature, again, consistent with chilling. So with that, these are the folks who helped Janook and us do this work, and we got some money from AgriFresh to do this. Thanks.
Jim, I was intrigued by your photos, your images of the fruit cracking. Is this a characteristic feature of a successful apple by chance?
Did you say the last sentence again? Oh, dehiscence. No. The question is dehiscence characteristic of commercial apple?
Ancestral.
I don't know that. Do the answer to that. I mean, this is really the first time I've ever seen that to that degree. And like I said, I mean, when we saw it, it was like, wow, that's interesting. And then here 2 months later, I get this guy asking me what happened to my fruit. So it was a very fortuitous result, but that's a really good question. Yeah.
Chris, a comment and a question. So what at the Maori State meeting, we were talking about that disorder. We in New Zealand used to call that the baked apple effect. We used to see a lot with pumps as always, remember, just as I was saying.
Okay.
Just to clarify, was that air storage?
Yes, this was all air storage. Yeah. So, I mean, this is really a worst-case scenario, but I think at 3 months where we saw plenty of browning after a week, I mean, it's not unusual for people to have fruit that had been treated with Smart Fresh and hold them for maybe 3 months in air. So it's, you know, it's a viable scenario, I think. But, you know, this actually kind of makes me more confused than ever, and I think when we first started doing this, we were assuming that we were looking at one thing. And I think this result kind of supports a concept that there's two things actually happening here, and that it may, you know, that may be a good way to maybe sort this out better than what we had been able to do previously. Yeah, the question is, could rootstocks be contributing to this disorder? Could be. I mean, at this point, we haven't looked at any of field factors to try to figure out what is contributing to what this is doing. I mean, all the fruit that I've done, used in these experiments, has been from this one block, because we've had such good luck getting disorders from it. And the 2014 season is the first time in several years that we've heard about other places having problems with this disorder, which I think is, it may be related to how hot it was last summer close to harvest, when people were delaying harvest because red color development hadn't proceeded far enough. And so I think maturity was later, and they were predisposing the fruit to probably the diffuse type of browning, which is what I saw in pictures that folks sent in.
Thank you very much, Jerry.
Thanks.